Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
We're ready. Welcome to worship, everybody. We had a missed push button with our timer to start the service, so we get to start it whenever we want. Please stand and join us for our first song. This is a song that we do sometimes as a slow song, and we decided to bump it up a little bit. One, two, three, four. All of you, here we go.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
You are my supply.
You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me. Satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
All right, you're my sacrifice.
You're my sacrifice of greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming. And I know all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Here we go. More than all I want.
More than all I want. More than all I need. You are more than enough for me. More than all I know. More than all I can see. You are more than enough.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me.
For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you, all of you, is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. And all I have in you is more than enough. More than enough.
One, two. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Where shall I stand, Beck?
Yeah, I'm not sure where that is.
I'm your associate pastor, Pastor Lynn, and I am happy to welcome you here. This is a place where you are welcome, where you are needed, and where we are glad you're here, because we're working to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And you've come on a terrific day because Pastor John, who's back over there, Pastor John is going to be offering us a message today that helps us to find true joy, real deep true joy, as we share what we have of our time and resources, and we make a difference in somebody else's life. So, we want to know that you're worshiping here with us, so please fill out that little connection card that was inside the bulletin, or if you're with us online, please just go online, let us know. You can give us prayer requests. We are a church family together, and you are welcome to be a part of it. So let's worship.
One, two, three, four. Water you turned into wine.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God.
All right, here we do. Water you turned.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? Let's sing together. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God.
one more time.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Amen. Will you please pray with me? Lord, we are so happy to come here and meet new people and sing songs we love, and we get to help people. Please help us remember that we are here to worship you, to learn about you, and please help us to have our hearts in the right place while we do that. We know that it is impossible that we will get it right every time, but please help us to always have good intentions so that we can try our hardest to do your will. Amen. Let's sing together. Here we go. God of creation.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I.
God of your promise,
God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you say. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I.
If the stars were made to worship,
if the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes
where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. One more. If you gave your life to love them, so will I.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, praise team, for leading us in worship. As we gather together today, I want to share a passage with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. I invite you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul. And now, brothers and sisters, we stand, and we want you to know about the grace of God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of every severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and for the love we have kindled in you, see that you excel in all of this, the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, so that through his poverty he might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also have the desire to do so. Now finish this work so that your eager willingness to do it might be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is that not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in their turn, their supply might supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much
did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be generous. Amen. Well, as you know, we're in the midst of this sermon series about the joy that we experience in generosity, and we're talking about four different areas. This week, we're talking about the joy that we experience in giving through missions, and last week, you heard a little bit about the joy that we have in investing in future generations. Next week, you'll hear a message about the joy that comes from being in sacred spaces, and then the following week, we'll talk about the joy that we experience in caring for one another, and it's our hope that you would dive deeply into what it means to be joyous in the midst of giving to other people. And the most kind of compelling and wonderful example that I've seen of this is this great joy that I experienced when I traveled halfway around the world to another country on the west side of Africa called Liberia. It's a beautiful country. If you don't know much about the history, it's a country that was actually settled by freed slaves that were sent back to Africa under the presidency of James Monroe. In addition to that, there were many, many people who lived in Liberia, of course, before those freed slaves were sent back there. So it's a country that has a rich history of sort of integrating these folks from the United States that spoke English with all of these folks who have lived in Africa for generations and generations. And the United Methodist Church is very strong in this country. In fact, as you get off the airport, which oftentimes, you know, you fly into an airport in Monrovia and you get off the airplane and you exit right actually onto the runway and walk over to receive your luggage and all that kind of stuff, people warmly greet you and they welcome you. It's almost like you've landed in Hawaii, you know, and you like immediately get that flower lei. That's how the hospitality is in Liberia. But I'm here to tell you that folks in Liberia, more than half of them, live on less than $680 a year. I don't know if you know what that might be like, but in Africa, particularly in Liberia, which is consistently ranked one of the five poorest countries in the entire world, you might expect to find people who are downtrodden, destitute, hopeless, maybe fearful about what the future might hold. And the truth of the matter is, as soon as you get off the plane, your immediate experience is anything but that. People greet you with open arms, welcome to Liberia, and then if you tell them that you're United Methodist, I'll tell you, the hospitality is off the charts. And so we got off the plane, and we went from village to village because we were collecting money for a whole year. A church-wide mission of the year for our church in Rochester was for this program, Water for Life, and we've told you a little bit about that. We put wells in the communities all across Liberia. Well, one of the last days that we were there, they got together and they held a massive church service, and everybody gathered in like the whole town, honestly. Like there were people looking in through the windows. They opened the windows. There was standing room only inside the church, and people were peering through every single window, and we went through this whole beautiful church service, and at the end of it, this incredible expression of generosity. The village was a fishing village, and this person came running up from the back, and they presented me with a massive basket of fish. It was overflowing, piled as high as you can possibly imagine, and I got to thinking, you know, this village where people were hungry and starving and looking for things to eat, and yet in the midst of this moment, they gave us all of this fish, and it's not appropriate in Africa to refuse hospitality. It's like literally like cursing out somebody, so I didn't do that, but I remember just thinking, like, what an incredible act of generosity, and I'm here to tell you, they didn't give like, oh, here you go, I hope you can use it somewhere. Instead, it was this opulent presentation, something that like was completely humbling to me, because you think about like somebody who's hungry presenting this gift of food to folks who honestly we probably could have fed their whole village with the food that we had in our very own pantry back in the United States. I've experienced that kind of joy and generosity in so many different ways in this church. I mean, after all, there are so many different missions that our church supports. It's hard to name them all in one message. Just recently, we went to Redbird. There were folks down there that were supported by this church, and we collected scrap metal, like nearly $3,500 worth of aluminum and steel and copper, all these wires that are pulled, and then there's silver that we pulled out of switchboards, and it's just like unbelievable the amount of work that went into raising that money for Redbird. And on top of that, there was money that was raised for Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. A tiny home was purchased. We've done churchwide missions of the year this year. A check was presented to Mark Phelps, the executive director for the Samaritan Counseling Center, just a few weeks ago, presenting the sum total of this offering that was collected at our church that will provide counseling services for up to 40 people in our community to receive a full course of counseling over the course of the next year right here to help them with the struggles that they might experience in mental health. I'm here to tell you the thing is, though, like, this isn't a new practice that churches will take up an offering for folks who are experiencing some form or some issue in their lives, some sort of poverty. This has been happening for almost 2,000 years because Paul says in his letter to the church in Corinth that he says, you know, I got to tell you about these Macedonians. You won't believe this, but they took up an offering and it was so amazing that it blew the roof off the church. We were so excited about their generosity. You guys should try that. And he was challenging and he said, I'm not here to pit one church up against another. I'm not here to do that, but I know you have something to give. I want you to find it. And the beautiful thing about this message is he didn't say that you're going to give to somebody and that's just the one direction that this generosity is going to go. What Paul says is their shortcomings are going to make up for your excess because you're going to give to them and their excess is going to make up for your shortcomings and it will all level out in the end. I love Eugene Peterson's translation in the message here. He says, like, it'll all work out. It'll all level out in the end. Your generosity, their depravity, it will measure out and vice versa. Your depravity and their generosity will level out and you'll give to each other. We were just talking about this earlier this week at our Tuesday morning Men with Tools group that meets here at the church. I asked all the guys, why is it that you go on mission trips? I mean, why do you go to Redbird? And like almost all of us in the room were sort of like, actually, even though it seems selfless to go down to Kentucky to help somebody else, I have to admit there's a part of it that's kind of selfish. I think I get more out of it than I ever can give to anybody else. I mean, at the end of the day, we went down to Kentucky. There were three different homes that we worked on. We showed up, and some of these homes, they had holes in the floors that were the result of years and years and years of use without the resources to be able to repair the floors. These homes have fallen into disrepair, and these homeowners, they said, thank you so much for coming to Michigan. I mean, we had never met before. We'll probably never meet again. But there's lots of things about going down to Kentucky that honestly, I feel like I got far more than I ever gave. To be able to hear stories about people's faithfulness while living up in the mountains, to hear them talk about how beautiful it is to see the trees change colors in the Appalachians, to be able to hear their stories about how their life and their livelihoods have been passed down from generation to generation, to see some of the small family gardens that are providing the sustenance that these folks need in order to be able to live there without grocery stores for miles and miles and miles. It reminded me of Liberia. It reminds me of folks that I've encountered while working in the city of Detroit, people who are incredibly resilient. And I find myself thinking, if I lost my job, if all of my relatives were no longer living or had disassociated themselves from me, if I had lost my home, if I had lost my sense of identity and livelihood, would I still have the courage and resilience to keep putting one foot in front of another to try to better myself? And I'm here to tell you, I don't know if I have that kind of resiliency. I don't have the story of a homeless person myself. I've never walked a mile in those folks' shoes, but I'm here to tell you, if you ever have the chance to listen to somebody who has, I guarantee you, your life can never fully be the same. You already heard me say that folks in Liberia, they live on $640 a year. Now, I don't know about you, but in a month, we can pretty much spend that on groceries, let alone car insurance or a car payment or gas or school fees or books that we buy or toys that we purchase or birthday presents that are given to somebody else. I don't know about you, but there's a lot that we can learn from our brothers and sisters in Liberia, and that's why missions is so important to me. I heard this amazing story about a gentleman who was in seminary at Duke Divinity School, and he went over to Iraq to sort of stand between American soldiers and Iraqi soldiers to try to promote peace. And in the midst of that work, he was involved in this nasty car accident. His car was flipped over, and he and several of his friends were jettisoned out onto the street. Sure enough, in that moment, I'm sure they feared for their lives. They were in the middle of a conflict zone. Literally anybody could have picked them up off the side of the road and done whatever they wanted to him and his friends. And nevertheless, when they regained consciousness, they were not inside a hospital, but they were laying in a field looking up at several Iraqi doctors. And as soon as they were woken up, they looked up at these doctors, and these doctors said to them, I want you to know that your country bombed our hospital. And so we can't care for you in a hospital, but we're going to take care of you in the field because you're a human being. And that's what our faith compels us to do. And this man who now works with homeless folks in Pennsylvania, he opened up a house where anybody who's homeless could come and they could live there and they could make their livelihood there and they could restore their dignity there. He called the home that he had developed for these homeless people the same name as the city that they were driving through when they got into the car accident, and these doctors who had no reason whatsoever to care for them because they knew immediately upon sight that they were American citizens, they decided to restore them to health. And they found themselves thinking, gee whiz, I wonder where I heard a story about somebody who is laying helpless and injured by the side of a road, rescued by somebody who they never had any business being rescued by. It was a Good Samaritan story told in the 21st century. Now, we've all heard stories of incredible faithfulness, stories about people doing incredible things that maybe they shouldn't do, stories about people breaking outside of their comfort zones, and I don't know about you, but Brighton can be a fairly comfortable place to live. Michigan can be a wonderful place to live. The United States is a wonderful place to live. And I just wonder if at some point in your week, maybe you pull it up on Google Maps, maybe you have a globe in your house and you just spin it and you find yourself putting your finger on a particular spot in the map. I wonder if at some point during your week, if you just sort of pause for a moment and ask God to show you a place that maybe you're being called to go. Maybe it's just up the street to Howell. Maybe it's across the parking lot to Bountiful Harvest. Maybe it's all the way down the 96 corridor to the city of Detroit to go serve a NOAA lunch or work at Cass Community Social Services. Maybe it's all the way down to Redbird in Kentucky. Maybe it's halfway around the world in Liberia to go meet some folks and hear their stories, and maybe you'll get a whole basket of fish delivered to you as well in an act of incredible grace and hospitality. But as I was reading this guy's book about this car accident that he had and how it changed and shaped his life, he said this: the reason why I would give away my money to somebody else in an act of charity is because it saves me from the temptation of believing that money can save me. I don't know about you, but most of us here in the United States get a lot of security by having a 401k. Or maybe we get a lot of security by being able to pay off a house. Or maybe we get a lot of security by having 3 months saved up, as Dave Ramsey would advise, in our checking account or our savings account for a rainy day fund. Or maybe we get our security by knowing that we have a life insurance policy. Or maybe we have our security by just having enough to be able to pay our bills as they come in. But I would argue that Christian charity or Christian giving in terms of mission giving is one of the things that introduces us to the gospel that God intended for us. The belief that our salvation isn't actually from our checking account. Our salvation isn't actually from our wealth. Our salvation isn't from the stock market performance. Our salvation doesn't come from any of those things. The true joy of generosity comes from being a part of a community and from leading a generous life. I'm here to tell you that I believe with all of my heart that that message is very countercultural. I know that. But I also know that a lot of us have been watching the stock market go down, and I can hear in people's voice the anxiety that comes with, like, oh no, another terrible day for the S&P. But I believe with all of my heart that God is so much bigger than what's going on in the stock market. And God is bigger than what's going on economically all throughout the world. And true joy can come from being generous. And no matter how the stock market is performing, I'm here to tell you that in the hills of Kentucky right now, there are three people who aren't worried about that because the holes in their floor are fixed. And there are 10 people who went from this church that are talking about their experiences about how they got far more out of going to Kentucky than they ever could have given by repairing people's holes in their floor. There are people whose homes have been built at Habitat for Humanity. There are folks in Liberia who are pumping water from wells because of the work of the church. And there are people here in the United States that get to feel good because instead of purchasing a whole bunch of lattes from Starbucks, they know that literally for $1 per person, you can provide water in a country halfway around the world. And I don't know about you, but when you start thinking about that, when I got off the plane back in the United States, and it was this massive tarmac, you know, and you walk up to the airport, and they're selling Cokes for like $7.50 at the airport, I didn't want to buy anything. But my heart was full. Thanks be to God for the great joy that comes from generosity. Amen.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Your words spoke to my heart. And I think they painted such a picture of the kind of generosity that I have been in. I've only been here 5 weeks, and I have seen generosity upon generosity upon generosity. And now I hear it reflected in your sermon for us. Thank you. I think it's time for us to talk with God. So let's bow our heads. Get all comfortable so that you can focus. God of peace and God of hope, thank you for the gift of now. For you are here now in this place. For we are alive and we are here in your presence. And we have been given the gift of another day. Help us to use this day well. Help us to do justice. Help us to love mercy. Help us to walk humbly with you. May this be a day when we earnestly desire to share in the privilege of giving generously for the sake of others, as you taught us. May this be a day when we remember the hungry and the needy persons within our community and across the world. May this be a day when these persons become not just numbers to us, but real people who have hopes and needs just like we do. Forgive us for the many times when we enjoy our own meals without giving a thought, without offering a prayer, not only a prayer of thanks, but a prayer of petition, asking that other hungry people may be fed as well. Inspire us today to find ways to help the hungry and the needy and the grieving and those in danger and those in pain and those who are lonely. Lord, it seems like a lot, but then you have given us so much love, and there's so much love available to share. May all your children experience a simple moment of peace sometime today. May they find a simple moment of joy as they think of something in the future that they can hope for. And as your disciples, help us to find better and better ways to share our daily bread. Thank you for inviting us into your service. Thank you for the joy of generously sharing with others. Lord, we pray for those receiving a prayer quilt today, for Carrie and for Stephanie. Warm their hearts as the quilts encircle their shoulders. Let them feel the power of the prayers sewn and knotted into these quilts. And now, Lord, in the silence, guide our hearts to a moment of true gratitude. Bring our hearts to hear something that we've forgotten to notice. Then let us offer our thanks to you. Guide our prayers, Lord. And now, Lord, may our hearts overflow with generosity and grace so that the gifts that you've shared with us will be faithfully shared with others. And hear us now as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite Marcia Eichel to come up. Oh, there she is. And I'll tell you what I told the first service, because it's what Pastor John told me I should say. Marcia is the president of the UMW, but more importantly, Marcia is an all-round awesome person, and you get to hear her now.
Or as my sons might say, she's something else. I just wanted to, this is not what I'm going to talk about, but I just wanted to let John know, I'm reading a really good book right now. It's called Worth of Water. I highly recommend it. It tells all those stories and really pulls it in. Well, I start out by saying every single morning, this is one of the things I say. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. It just sets the tone for the entire day, and so I highly recommend that. I have been a member of this congregation for nearly 50 years, born and raised Methodist as a young family. We moved to the area for a new job with Williams Research, where Jim Todd, Jane Todd's husband, also worked. We visited about two or three other Methodist churches, and then we came here, and it was over, because we knew this was the church for us and our young family. We taught and went to Sunday school. I did the youth fellowship with Tom Doan, and we had on average about 35 kids every Sunday. And having young children, it really prepared me for the teen years, and so I was ready. But a very worthwhile thing to do. And, of course, joined the Dorcas Circle. of which some of the same people that I met then are still, we're still going to Dorcas Circle once a month. When my sons Matt and Mark were 9 and 12, my husband Wayne was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma. I took Wayne's x-rays to Agnes Hochul, who was at the Dorcas meeting, so she could take him home to Vern, because I wanted Vern's opinion as to what was going on. The next morning, Agnes showed up at my house, knowing that the kids had left for school and Wayne had left for work. And she just wanted to be there when Vern called, because it was not good news. And a few days later, we were sitting in Bill and Carol Rife's wedding. And they've been married, I think it'll be 38 years, I think I heard. And we were celebrating their future, knowing that ours did not look very good. To this day, Carol and I think a lot of you know it, are like sisters from another mother. We just really get each other and are very close to one another. And in fact, Wayne died then on an Easter Sunday, and then our memorial, of course, was to the church, and that was something that was bought from the memorial funds, the Everlasting Light, and that just speaks to me every time I'm here, and I hope that you can look at it and, too, and remember a loved one. Many years later, with lots of love by so many in this congregation who are still here, Matt and Mark are college grads, and P.S., yes, we did have a dog named Luke, beautiful golden retriever, married and successful. I have, and they wouldn't let me do a slideshow, but I have two grandchildren, Benjamin Wayne and Madeline Elizabeth, who's going to be a teenager this year, but I'm ready. I've already told her, I can see her rolling her eyes. But I got a high rating as a grandma, 99.9. And I got docked a point because I keep trying to kiss her on her cheek. And I says, well, that's never going to stop. And I have two four-legged grandchildren, Flora and Simba. As you heard, some of the people that I met when we joined the church are still members of this wonderful, caring, generous church community. And that's why I'm still here. This is why it is easy for me to be generous to the church, which is still very caring, giving, generous, and especially mission-focused. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Marcia, for that wonderful testimony and the stories that you tell about our church, the history and the present. In a moment, the ushers will be moving through this space to collect this morning's offering. I want you to know the gifts will continue to be a blessing not only to this church, but also to folks all around the world. That is one of the big reasons why we're here. And so as we receive this morning's offering, we pray that if this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself as a gift to us. We would just love for you to fill out that connection card and drop it into the offering plate as it goes by. And if this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that we can continue to bless others. Thank you.
Let's sing together. The splendor. Go. One, two.
The splendor of the King. Thank you. voice and trembles at his voice.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
And age to age.
And age to age he stands.
And time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb.
How great is our God. Sing with me.
How great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Amen. Please stand and join us for our last song. One, two, one, two, three, four. Go. There's a peace I've come to know.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is call.
Thank you so much for being in worship with us today. I just want to share with you a couple of announcements as we close our time together. First of all, the crop walk is today. If you're interested in participating in it, it's going to be a little bit different than our normal crop walks have been in the past. Usually you get together here at the church and then do a 5K. Well, this year we actually are going to walk around the campus and we will be learning about poverty in our community. It starts at 1 o'clock. Right here at this church, we're partnering with the Presbyterians next door, so we'll be using both parking lots, and you're welcome to join us for that. We hope that you get a good walk in, even if it's not a 5K. You can still do a 5K if you want. You will be able to walk wherever you'd like to raise awareness about poverty and hunger in our community, but most of the activity will take place right here at the campus. In addition to that, there are joy cards that we would love for you to fill out as you head out from the sanctuary. If you hang a right there on the wall, there are cards that you can stick up on the wall to indicate where you're finding joy in the midst of our sacred spaces, in the midst of our future generations, in the midst of our caring for one another, in the midst of our missions and the ways in which we serve one another. We'd love for you to fill those out. You can see them. There's sticky notes right here on the sidewall as you exit the sanctuary, just to let us know where you're finding joy in the midst of your day-to-day life. I want to let you know that our church serves breakfasts at St. Andrew's in Ann Arbor. If you're interested in volunteering, please contact the church office. It's Saturday morning. You leave from here at the church at 6:30 in the morning, and you feed about 100, 125 folks in the city of Ann Arbor. If you'd like to serve in that way, it's a wonderful way to get involved in the community and serve folks who are less fortunate than us. Finally, All Saints Sunday is going to be celebrated November 6th. And if you're interested in sharing the names of loved ones, folks that you care about, maybe family members that you're grieving, that are no longer with us, we can celebrate them on All Saints Sunday right here in the sanctuary. We'll light a candle on their behalf in memory of them and celebrate their life, their light, their witness amongst us. We would love to have you share those names. You can call the church office or email the church office, and we'll be sure to print their names in the bulletin that Sunday morning. Finally, on November 13th, we're just having one service. So if you come at 11, you'll be just in time for the celebration thereafter. We're burning the mortgage here at our church, and we would love to have one service right here at 10 o'clock. There won't be a service at Whitmore Lake that Sunday. It will just be one service here at 10 o'clock. So please come. We hope that you'll join us for that service. It will be a great celebration. Our bishop, Bishop David Allen Bard, will be here. He'll be preaching and bringing the message, and you won't want to miss him preach. He's outstanding, and we're fortunate to have him as our spiritual leader in the state of Michigan. So as you go out into the world, I just want to share with you, sometimes when you preach without notes, you forget stuff. The author I was telling you about is Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove. And he wrote a book called God's Economy, and as I'm reading it this week, it's just opening my eyes to the ways that God would call us to be generous and transforming in the world. It's a wonderful book, and the place that he started is called the Rugba House, a place for homeless folks, because the city was rescued in by folks who had no business rescuing them, was in Rugba, Iraq. I hope that as you drive home, that you'd have your eyes open for where folks are struggling on the streets as you drive by, that you'd have your heart open because you never know when God is calling you to be the Good Samaritan on the streets. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.